How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Changing themes from what we have had, I don't know when we've ever talked on the subject, but this is a very dominant, predominant theme in the Scriptures. I call it the principles of comfort for lack of a name. The Bible has a lot to say about comfort. So let's take a look at a couple of things. In fact, this is the main command given to Jeremiah. Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Really strong command. Well, it's a transitive verb, and it means to strengthen, morally or spiritually, to encourage, to hearten someone, to incite someone. And in a bad sense, it means to encourage in or do that which is evil. And to minister delight or pleasure to gladden, cheer another person, to soothe in grief or trouble, to relieve of mental stress, to console or to give solace. Actually, from the Latin, looks like I got a typo in here. Confort means to strengthen. This word fort, the word which we have like as in fortress, which means to make strong, is the derivation of the word. Well, we need comforters today. Look at these scriptures. I return, I considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed. And they had no comforter. And on the other side of their oppressors there was power. But they had no comforter. There's a lot of oppression. There's a lot of room for comforters to function. A lot of brokenhearted, a lot of scared, a lot of nervous, a lot of hurt, a lot of damaged. David put it this way, reproach hath broken my heart, I'm full of heaviness. I looked for somebody to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, I looked for comforters, but I found none. Lots of room for comforters. So let's just enumerate some of the purposes of comfort. Number one is to help people recover from sin and regret. To help people recover from sin and regret. Now, we all know the story of Joseph, the coat of many colors deal. His brothers took him. They threw him in a pit. And they intended to kill him, but instead of killing him, they just put animal blood on his coat, took it back to the father and said, your son Joseph, our brother, is dead. What they really did is they sold him to some passing by slave traders who took him to the next country or three, put him up on a slave block and auctioned him off, sold him. And a guy by the name of Potiphar bought him. He went to Potiphar's house, remember? And he served Potiphar well, and then he got framed. The wife claimed rape when there was no rape. And she tore her clothes and grabbed his coat when he went to run away, held up the coat and said, look, here's the proof. This guy was this Hebrew. And so he ended up thrown in jail for 7 years for something that he did not do. You know the story. He got out of jail and he got a job with the government. Not a bad job. The thing about him, though, is he became the second person in the country next to the king himself. And then, years later, when there was a famine in his home country, the brothers came to get the corn because Joseph, being a wise leader, had saved up and they had lots of food when other nations were starving. And here we go. This is the climactic moment where he gets a chance face to face with his brothers to let them know what they had done and that he was alive, and now his dream was coming true. They were bowing down to him. Remember the dream? And now here are these brothers who years before treated their brothers so terribly. Lied about them, sold them, can you imagine that, and had lived their entire life without their youngest brother, Joseph. And now they've discovered that he's alive and they're standing in his presence. And now you're going to see bigness in this Joseph character. He could have done anything with those boys. He could have retaliated. He could have exercised vengeance. He had the power to do it all. But instead, he comforted them. Imagine comforting your enemy. Here we go. What you did to me, as for you, you thought evil against me. God made it work for good to bring to pass as it is this day, so I could save many of the people alive. And look at what, because we never get to this verse. We all stop the story of Joseph here. But look at where the story of Joseph goes. Now, therefore, look what he says. Don't fear. I will nourish you and your little ones. And look at this. And he comforted them. And he spake unto them kindly. When somebody has done you wrong, sinned against you personally, but then comes around, we all get a chance to rub their nose in what they did. Or we get a chance to speak kindly and comfort them, knowing that they probably did mean it for evil, but God has made everything work together for our good. The ones that deserve comfort the least are the ones that need it the most. So it's to help them recover from sin and regret. Second is to relieve mourning. I was as one that comforteth the mourners. It's not every year one has a death in their family. Some of the most cherished things that occurred when my father passed away last November the 30th was little notes and little cards I got from you people. Comfort someone mourning. And then it's to overcome sorrow. And Jeremiah said, I would comfort myself against sorrow. Problem is, my heart is faint within me. Sometimes it's hard for us to deal with stuff ourselves. And then fourthly, I'm going to spend just a moment on this one, is that one of the purposes of comfort is to prepare us with the comfort that we got so that we can give the same comfort to somebody else. All right, now look at this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, The Father of Mercy. Look at his name for God. He specializes. Did you know that God specializes in this? He is the God of all comfort. Now watch this. And he comforts us in whatever we're going through and in our tribulation. But watch this now. He comforts you in the tribulation that you go through. Watch this. So that we can comfort somebody else which are in trouble. Now watch this. How do we comfort somebody else? We comfort them by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. One of the primary purposes of us getting comfort from God is so we can give the same comfort to somebody else. This, my friends, is how you increase your ministry. The more tribulation you have to go through and the more solutions and comfort that has to come for you, the more solutions and comfort you got to give somebody else. He comforts us in our tribulation so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we got from God. Think of the worst thing that's ever happened in your life. Think of the comfort that you have having gotten over it. Do you know why God allowed that? So that you can pass the same comfort on somebody else. Ever had a spouse damage you, walk out on you, be unfaithful to you? God gives you comfort so that you can comfort, because you are going to meet a lot of people who had the same thing happen to them. What kind of damages have you faced? Ever had a near-death experience? Ever had a child hurt? Ever had a sickness and a disease? Why? So God gets comfort to us to enlarge our ministry of comfort. So the more stuff you have got comfort from, the more stuff you can give comfort for. Were you hurt when you were a child? Did somebody do you wrong? And God gives you comfort? Why? So you can comfort somebody else. Now watch this, because the Scripture doesn't just leave it there. Next verse. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation. More suffering you get, the more consolation you get from Christ. Now watch this. I won't put you in there instead of we. If you are afflicted, it's for somebody else's consolation and salvation. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same temptation which we also suffer. Now look at this. And if we be comforted, it is for your consolation. So no matter what's happened to you, God intends you to get comfort to increase the breadth and the depth of your personal ministry. You ever done something for which you have been ashamed? Because one of the things God supplies comfort for is for what's called in the Bible reproach. And you brought shame on yourself because you were the offender instead of the offended. You were the damaged doer instead of the damaged one. And oh, the shame. And God wants to comfort you in your shame and in your reproach, to enlarge your ministry. And everybody else who ever is an offender becomes a special
object of your attention. Let's see if we don't have another scripture about this. Nope, I didn't put it in. Anyhow, let me see. Let's see if we can get through the sources of comfort tonight. All right. Sources of comfort. Number one, a proper marriage is a very comforting thing. An improper marriage is a very tormenting thing. I would ask for testimonies right now, but no wonder Solomon said, it's better to go into the desert than dwell with a contentious woman. No, we don't have men with men. Proper marriage is a comfort designed by God. I say not just marriage, because marriage is not comforting in itself. We have enough evidence to show that marriage is a lot of irritation. But a proper marriage is one that is designed by God to have a built-in comfort for one another. You can find this, by the way, in Ecclesiastes, a very important text. Two are better than one, remember that? And a threefold cord is never broken. In fact, it says if one falls and he's alone, there's nobody to lift him up. That's why two are better than one. But here's the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent. She became his wife. He loved her. And then when his mother died, Rebekah was the reason he survived. Isaac was comforted after his mother's death because of the woman that God brought into his life. Secondly, this might shock you. The Bible represents that food is a comfort. How many have experienced this kind of comfort? Came to pass on the fourth day when they arose early in the morning that they rose up to depart, and the damsel's father said to his son-in-law, comfort your heart with a morsel of bread, and after that, then you can go your way. And they sat down, and they ate, and they drank. There's a sense in which food is, in fact, a comfort. Number three, sincere, friendly speech. Now, this is a story of Ruth and Boaz. And Ruth remember Boaz told those who were working in the field to leave handfuls on purpose so that she could come and pick them up. And then she falls on her face in front of him and says, why have I found grace in your eyes? And why should you take knowledge of me because I'm such a stranger? And he gives her the answer. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it's been shown to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and you left your mother and the land of your nativity, and you're come to a people which you knew not before you got here. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And look what she says. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and you have spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden, even though I am not in the same category as all your other handmaidens. I'm not sure that I know of anything as powerful as sincere, friendly speech with the power to comfort. Sometimes when it comes to comforting people, it doesn't matter so much what you say as that you said something or that you said it in a way that at least showed. You may not have. You know, I don't know about you, but when I go to funerals, sometimes you don't know what to say to people. I have met people because I get a phone call and I have to show up at their house in the middle of the night and there's some tragedy that's happened. What do you say? You don't always know what to say. Sometimes God gives you things to say. But the fact that you're there and the fact that you are speaking friendly, you don't have to have all the answers. Comfort doesn't require you having the solution to everybody's problem. Speaking friendly. Sincere, friendly speech. Proper sleep or rest can be a comfort to you. But as you watch, you don't get too much of this, that's all. My bed shall comfort me. My couch shall ease my complaint. This was Job speaking. And by the way, if you want to know about comfort, you need to read the book of Job. The problem he had is when he thought the bed would comfort him, then he had these weird dreams that messed up his comfort. Then you need to find comfort. You need to learn how to comfort yourself. Job said, I will forget my complaint and I'll leave off my heaviness and I will comfort myself. Because there are some times when a comforter may not come to you and you need to comfort yourself. Next week, because I don't have enough time tonight, when we cover the principles of comfort, we're going to cover the how do you comfort yourself. How do you do that? And there's going to be a lot of times when you're going to have to learn to comfort yourself. Sometimes it's because nobody else knows what you're going through. So we learn how to comfort ourselves. David encouraged himself in the Lord as God. What do you need? You can get it for yourself many, many times if you learn to comfort yourself. Number six, solitude. There are times when just getting away, look at, let me alone that I may take comfort a little. Sometimes you have to get alone in order to get comfort. And in the solitude, you hear in the quietness the speaking voice of God. Solitude helps get comfort. Well, this one might shock you. The Bible is clear that money is a comfort. And in fact, if you go to the last few verses of the book of Job, the book of Job is about comforters. Do you remember? How many have ever heard the phrase, how'd it go? The comforters of Job. How would you like to have friends like the friends of Job? We're going to learn from the book of Job next week. Because these friends of Job that came to comfort him, guess what? They gave him no comfort. They didn't understand the principles of comfort. They violated the principles of comfort. And Job was worse because of their speeches and what they said to him than he was without them. We're going to learn those principles next week. But watch this. This is the end of the book of Job. Then came unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all that had before been his acquaintance, and they ate bread with him, and they bemoaned him, and they comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had allowed to come on him through Satan. Now watch this. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Sometimes money can comfort you a lot. It can take your problem away. In fact, you're shocked to know that one verse in the Bible says money answereth all things. Number eight, the rod, the staff of God. Everybody knows this scripture. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, this is kind of important Because the rod and staff, in order to comfort you, need to understand how they were used in the Oriental shepherding of sheep. The rod was used as to fight off the wolves, and was also used in discipline. The staff was used for guidance, and so the sheep were rescued and guided by the staff. Realizing that you are not alone, and that God uses the staff and the rod, the staff to protect you and to discipline you, and the rod, the staff, and to protect and discipline you, and the staff to lead you and guide you, means a lot of comfort. I am not stuck with myself. God's using the rod and the staff on me. And then number 9, this is the main one. And I probably should have written here God Himself. Because this is what God really specializes in. God, You increase my greatness. And God, You comfort me on every side. No matter what you're going through, this is the primary source of comfort that God wants you to have. Let's look at this. Thou, Lord, has helped me and comforted me. This is not a typing mistake. That's the way it's spelt in the King James. Let's look at another verse. God says, I am He that comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be made as the grass, and forget the Lord thy maker? Because I'm the one who comforts you. God never turns comfort down to those who know they need it. In fact, the verse I was thinking of, it's coming up here somewhere, but let me give it to you now. Blessed are they which mourn, they shall be comforted. We're going to learn the principle out of that next week that's so important about not trying to comfort people until they have mourned. Giving timing in mourning is, or in giving comfort is critically important, one of the principles of comforting. But I am He that comforts you. Let's look at this famous scripture quoted by Jesus in the Gospels. Remember, He sat down and He quoted this scripture from Isaiah 61? And they were so mad because that chair in the temple was reserved for the Messiah. That's why He sat on it, because that's who He was. And that's the same chair or throne that the Antichrist will sit on when he comes. But look at this. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And we know this scripture. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good news, Jesus said in the Gospels. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And look at this. And to comfort every single one that mourns. That is one of the forgotten ministries of Jesus when He quoted this scripture. He said, the reason the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it isn't just to preach the gospel, good news to the poor. It isn't just to bind up the brokenhearted. It isn't just to bring deliverance to the captive. But it's to comfort all that mourn. Look at this. It goes on further. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. How's He going to comfort them? He's going to give them beauty for ashes. He's going to give the oil of joy for their mourning. He's going to give them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now watch this, because we all quote this next verse. They shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They will repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. How can a person do this unless they first have been comforted? And so that's what God does. Now Jesus comes along and he proclaims this, which we sang about tonight. I will pray to Father. He shall give you another comforter. Another, meaning another one besides me. Jesus was a comforter. That was his role. You found it in Isaiah chapter 61. But when this scripture comes along, he says, I'm going to pray to the Father. He's going to send you another comforter. It is a comforter besides himself, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. He dwells in you and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. And so he said, I'm sending you another, which is the Holy Spirit. So the primary source of comfort is one of the workings of the blessed Holy Spirit. He's called the Comforter, not the Condemner. And next week we'll learn from him some of the principles of showing comfort. And then number 10. If you do not have the right thoughts about God, you will not get comfort. If you have an inadequate concept of God, you will not have comfort. You will be distressed. But look at this. In the day that my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not my soul. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Now this is just the first couple of verses. And the rest of the chapter is a discussion of the right thoughts about God that David had, that he didn't get comfort until he started to think right about God. If you think the wrong way about God, you will not find comfort. But when you understand what God's character is really like, it will produce comfort. Then, how many we got? 15? Okay. I'm working at getting all this up because the really important part is next week. The Word of God. I love this scripture. This is my comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction. What is it? Thy Word hath quickened me. The proud have me in greatly in derision, yet have not declined from your word, from their law. I remember thy judgments, O Lord. And look at this. I've comforted myself. How did he comfort himself? With the Word. All right. That's how you get it. It comes from the Word of God. And the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Again, it was in reference to the Scriptures. Mine eyes fail for thy Word. I want to see your Word. Saying, when will you comfort me, O God? It comes from his Word. Look at here in the New Testament. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and, look at this phrase, comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. It doesn't matter what the issue is you're going through. It doesn't matter what the trouble, what the persecution, what the tribulation, what the distress, what the anxiety, what the upset, what the damage is. You get comfort from the Scriptures. They are designed. They are established by God. They are backed by God. That is, every promise is endorsed by him. And all you've got to do is attach the promise that's appropriate to the condition you're in. And it becomes your comfort, the comfort of the Scriptures. And then number 12, Christian brothers and sisters. Now, this is a big one, and I was running out of space on your page. So there's probably some more verses here than you have. Look at this. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them before they departed. When we shake hands, when we come to the church, when you see the brethren, whether it's out there or in here, it may well be that they need some comforting. And so we give it to the brothers. That's where it's to come from. Look what Paul said. I long to see you so that I can impart some spiritual gift so that you can be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you
by the mutual faith of both you and me. Paul said, I want to see you established because that will give me comfort.
I've asked the Lord a lot of times about being a pastor. And I'll tell you one of, I actually love being a pastor, but it has a few drawbacks. I'll tell you what one of them is. When you don't know people are doing well, they may not be doing bad, but you don't know it. When they don't show up, you lose your comfort. Comfort for me comes from knowing that every one of you are doing well. Or that if you're missing, it's because of not some grave danger or some imminent disaster. And so I usually inquire within hours, usually, unless some people are just habitually don't care that I care, don't want me to know, or whatever the case is. But I tell you something that happens, and this should happen for all of us here, that when we know one another is okay, it brings us personal comfort. So we phone, so we talk, so we communicate, so we inquire. Why is it? Well, this may seem like a selfish reason, but look at this. Paul said, I want to see you. And I want to give you some spiritual gift. I want you to be established so that I can be comforted. When you feel like you've given somebody something to help them this week, there's the comfort. Look at this. God that comforts those that are cast down. Now watch this. How does God comfort? He comforted us by the coming of Titus. Wow. Titus came and brought comfort. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. In other words, when he was with you, you comforted him. And then he shows up at our church. He showed up in our meeting. And what a comfort he brought. He didn't just bring comfort. He brought what you comforted him with to us. And he brought that when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, that I rejoice the more. Some more. We were comforted in your comfort. Yea, exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus. Because, look at this, his spirit was refreshed by you all. You all comforted him, and then he came and it spilled over onto us from him. God designed the coming together of the brothers and the sisters to always comfort one another and overcome distress and stress, to overcome anxiety, to overcome worry, to overcome concern. And every time we get together, we should walk out of here feeling better about one another than when we came. Because this brothers and sisters comfort one another. In the months that lie ahead of us, in these United States of America, we may be seeing some very turbulent times. And I don't know about you, but I tend to carry some of those, and I know you carry the distress of this. Do you know there's sometimes when you just need relief? And you know where you get that relief? When you get here. When you join in prayer. When you shake hands, when you share what you've burdened with somebody else, and somebody else says, yeah, I got the same thing. And just in that, you begin to mutually comfort one another. We are an assembly where comfort should emanate from each of us to all of us. Automatically. And that comfort comes from God. Let's look at another verse. Here's Tychicus. You know my affairs. And you know, look at this. You know, look at this. I want you to see this. You know my affairs and you know how I do. Paul wanted to know how people were, and he wanted people to know how he was, because just knowing about each other brings comfort. Somebody cares about how you are. Somebody cares that you care about them. So he's going to make known these things unto you. And I'm sending him for the same purpose. Watch this. I'm sending him so that you know what's going on and so that he might comfort your hearts. Comes from Christian brothers and sisters. And 13, the biblical gift of prophecy. We haven't taught a lot on these spiritual gifts in the 14th and 12th chapters of Corinthians. We spent a whole day on them, an afternoon session, 6 hours one afternoon, but not in the sanctuary. But he that prophesies speaks unto men for three reasons. Prophecy is to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. That is what the gift of prophecy is to do. It's to comfort. The gift of prophecy in the New Testament is not a Christian version of teacup reading or forecasting or divination. It's to edify, exhort, and comfort. I want you all to prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be, look at this, comforted. That's what prophecy is about. Number 14. Realizing the wellness of other believers brings comfort. I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort, watch this, when I know your state. So I want to thank you. Those of you who call when you can't be here for whatever reason, let me know. I know how this feels right here. I'm of good comfort when I know your state. Don't guess about one another's well-being. Phone, talk, ask, inquire. It will comfort the person you ask how they are, and will comfort you to know how they are. Realizing the wellness, the condition of brothers and sisters, I will be of good comfort when I will be of good comfort when I know your condition. Now, I'm just about done with this one, but I want to just tag this with personal illustration. My wife and I call each other, I'm not sure how many times a day, a lot. A lot. I won't tell you why. There's no big news. Most of the time, there's no big news. But I work better wherever I am and whatever I'm doing when I know she's okay. A good illustration. I hope she feels the same. I haven't asked her this, but when you know that your spouse is okay, their wellness is an automatic comfort to you. It's true with your children. When we know the condition of the flock for which we are responsible, whether it be a father with his children, or wife with a mother with the children, or husband with a wife, or the wife with a husband, it is a source of comfort. It's to know the state. Paul said, here's the problem. I want to know your state. I get comfort out of this. Because I don't have anybody else like-minded who will care for your state. Who else cares about you but me, he was saying. Because apparently in this church, when he was pastoring this particular group, there wasn't anybody else who just called around. Everybody okay? Everybody okay? Everybody all right this week? Because everybody was busy seeking their own, doing their own thing, not the things which are Christ's. That's why we want to be checking up on each other all the time. Not, and I know some people think I'm not a pastor, but a sheepdog, because I'm always inquiring. The reason you inquire, because you want to know their state. And then lastly, comfort comes from right relationships among believers. How does your heart receive comfort? Look at the answer. By being knit together in love. That their hearts might be comforted. Being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The biggest comfort that any of us can have is to know that the others are rightly related to Jesus Christ. What a comfort it is to know that you are spiritually well with the Lord. Those are some of the sources of comfort. It's interesting that the word encouragement is only used 9 times in the Bible. The word encouragement is used 9 times in the Bible. But the word comfort is used in its various derivations over 160 times. It's a really important subject. If you recall from last Sunday morning, we learned the 2 errors that can happen in a church. One is not to care about a person enough, and one is to care with them, care about them more than brotherly love, brotherly affection. And I really want us to, during these troubled days, to actually have mental, emotional, and spiritual health as a result of the principles of comfort. Because we will face, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're surrounded by men who are lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, blasphemers, without natural affection, etc. The darker the days get, the darker the days seem, the more we need comfort. These sources of comfort. Now, next week, when we learn the principles of comfort, we're also going to learn false comfort. There are some false comforts that you can get. We're going to learn what they are, according to Scripture. And we're going to learn what are the functional principles involved in comforting one another. I want everybody to have a real, genuine comfort level about being here. Not in this building, but in relationship with one another. When we come together, how you're doing really matters. We must matter to each other. We must not follow the world's disconnect syndrome.
Where everybody's sort of an island unto himself, does his own and goes, does what's right in his own eyes, whatever. No accountability, no relationship, no warmth, no fuzzies. Nobody cares. I think the worst kind of abuse that takes place comes from indifference. To walk into a church and walk out of a church and have nobody genuinely inquire as to your well-being. This is what David felt when he said, "No man cares for my soul." God has designed in the Christian community that just in the care that we have for the well-being of one another, that there's a comfort. And the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, works in the dynamic of people expressing consideration for one another. Comfort. I want you to have comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow. Oh Lord, it's not nice to be alone. It's not nice to be isolated. You have designed us to come together, husband and wife, parents and children, families and families in a church community where none of us ever need to feel isolated. But in just being together, we experience comfort. And I may not, or we may not be able to plumb at the depths of each person's pain, because it's they who carry the pain. It is their tribulation. But oh God, help me and help us to always be there for one another. And just in the being there, ministering comfort. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.